Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. We're going to talk today about funny doings in Idaho, which just strikes me as funny. But also, I got to say hello to Heath and Uncle Willie. I got an email from Uncle Willie who said, you know, I sit here and I watch your videos with my nephew, Heath. And Heath said one day, gee, wouldn't it be nice if Steve Leto said hello to me at the beginning of a video? And Uncle Willie said, I wonder if we can make that happen. Sent me an email. And I thought to myself, you know, I should do that if for no other reason than to say the phrase Uncle Willie and Heath, which sounds like the great name for a morning duo, perhaps an all sports station. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning and get all the scores from Uncle Willie and Heath. So how's it going, guys? But I'd have to say thank you to Chris, who passed along today's topic. And that was how Idaho has basically repealed its entire regulatory framework. And this is one of those stories, when I first saw it, I thought, this has got to be an urban legend or a Snopes story or something spun wildly out of control. But it's true. And so we have to understand the distinction here. I pointed out before, these blue books here are the Michigan compiled laws, the laws of the state of Michigan. And every state's got its own laws. And then, of course, you got the federal laws passed by those people in Washington, D.C. And there are laws, and then there are regulations. And in this discussion, the distinction is I'm making that laws are passed by legislators and signed by an executive and become a law. And then sometimes they'll empower an agency to pass regulations. And so, for instance, the FDA has regulations. The Federal Trade Commission has regulations. So, for instance, with the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, the act specifically says these things are outlawed in the certain settings with consumer warranties. And then the Federal Trade Commission can make its own rules to enforce these laws. And so the Federal Trade Commission's rules, which you'd find in the Code of Federal Regulations or the CFRs, they issue new rules from time to time to clarify different things and to make these laws more useful, they think. And sometimes it's because of a change in society. You know, certain items start getting sold that weren't being sold previously, and so on. So they have to change with the times. So regulations can happen. But a lot of people complain about the fact that there's these unelected people making law. And that's true on one hand, except that all of the people who are doing this stuff, even if you didn't vote for them, you voted for their bosses. So, you know, we've heard the complaint that there's 9 people in Washington who are unelected who are making law. And I like to point out that, of course, you didn't vote for the Supreme Court justices, but you did vote for the 2 entities that get to put those people where they're seated. And that, of course, is the Senate and the executive branch. So if you voted for those people, then you had a say in how these people get on the bench. You didn't vote for them directly, but you had a say in it. So the people who are making the regulations at these different bureaus or agencies or whatever they might be, they may not have been elected by you directly, but you voted for their boss most likely or their boss's opponent. So the big complaint, of course, though, is that a lot of these agencies are working over here someplace. Nobody's paying attention to them. They're passing regulations. And it seems that a lot of regulations get passed by some agencies. And like, who's overseeing this stuff? And so Idaho came up with a great idea, seemingly. And they said, how about this? Once a year, all of the regulations that get passed will simply expire unless they're examined and basically reauthorized. So they put an expiration date on all the regulations. So once a year, it all goes away unless they're reauthorized. Now, I found this story in a couple different places, and Chris sent me the link to one of them. And this is commentary by James Brogel. I could be mispronouncing his name, and I apologize. B-R-O-U-G-H-E-L. But he says that something remarkable happened in Idaho. And I double-checked this to make sure, and it's true. The state legislature opted to, in essence, repeal the entire state regulatory code. The entire thing. Now, it happened probably because of dysfunction, but the result is the same. A new governor is presented with an unprecedented opportunity now to repeal the outdated and burdensome regulatory code and replace it with a more streamlined and sensible set of rules. Other states should be paying close attention. The situation came about due to the somewhat unconventional nature of Idaho's regulatory process. Each year, the state's entire existing body of regulations expires unless reauthorized for an additional year by the legislature. And in most years, they do that basically as a matter of course, but not this year. Instead, the legislature wrapped up an acrimonious session in April without passing the rule reauthorization bill. As a result, on July 1st, 8,200 pages of regulations containing 736 chapters of state rules will all expire. Any rules the governor opts to keep will have to be implemented as emergency regulations, and the legislature will then consider them anew when it returns next January. And I'm assuming this is a part-time legislature. Some states have got those. Michigan's got a full-time one. The amazing thing is the full-time ones don't get more work done. They do pass a lot of cool bills, like, you know, making the chocolate chip cookie the state cookie. But I don't know how much useful stuff they accomplish in their extra time. Governor Brad Little, sworn into office in January, already had a red tape-cutting effort underway, but the impending regulatory cliff creates some new dynamics. Previously, each rule the governor wanted cut would have had to be justified as a new rulemaking action. So even if you say, I like this rule, they say, okay, we don't keep that rule. We simply say, okay, we're now making a new rule. Same as the last one. But the point is, it's a brand new rule. And so we're not going to say any of these rules are like, you know, it's a 10-year-old rule. No, all the rules are new. And I can see the argument behind that. But here's the thing. If he creates a rule as an emergency and asks them to implement it, he has to, in essence, explain to them why they need that rule. Now, some of the rules might be obvious, but the point is the burden of proof, in essence, has switched in the setting. This new scenario creates multiple touch points when rules could end up on the cutting room floor. So, for instance, many of the rules simply won't be refiled. The public will have the opportunity to comment on regulations that are resubmitted. And in some cases, public hearings are likely to take place, presenting another opportunity to work with this stuff and get regulations that people like. Finally, when the legislature returns next year, it will need to pass a reauthorization bill for those regulations that the administration wants to keep, which of course gives them the opportunity to say, no, we're not going to authorize that anyways. We don't care if it's an emergency, if you think it's an emergency. And then, of course, he points out that many regulations do serve purposes, and the challenge to the administration will be to hone in on those rules that add costs disproportionate to any benefits produced while preserving and perhaps even strengthening the rules that are working well. And so he points out that there are sunset provisions that some states use where they'll actually say we're going to implement a law and it will expire so many years down the road. And that's a good idea oftentimes. When Michigan or some state codifies what homicide is, I can't imagine putting an end date on that, where if you accidentally fail to reauthorize it, suddenly murder becomes legal. But there are antiquated, archaic laws on the books right now in every state in America, including Michigan. I'm talking about laws, not even regulations, but laws. I'll do a whole video on those one of these days. But the point here is that Idaho is in this really strange situation. And so many people are pointing out that if nothing else, it's a great thought exercise to ask yourself, you know, could we learn from this? So any state without a sunset provision should consider setting those up, modeled after the Idaho approach, perhaps, and it's forcing a fresh start by repealing the entire regulatory code, maybe the newest arrow in the red tape cutter's quiver. And time will tell if this works or not. Now, I poked around to double check on some of this stuff because I, you know, again, want to make sure this is an accurate story. And so I wanted to find an example. Of a regulation that somebody either had cut under this law or that was spotted because of this law. And I found one. A few years ago, Idaho's tax agency, okay, the agency that taxes you, decided to clarify some ambiguity in Idaho's statutes regarding taxing and cloud computing. Now, that's a great example. Cloud computing wasn't around 30 years ago. Okay, so if some law got passed before cloud computing existed and cloud computing comes along and somehow it's impacted by this, how do you do this? And, you know, this happens a lot with technology, you know. So the people in Idaho, the tax agency, decided to impose a 6% sales tax on Netflix, Hulu, and Spotify. Most people... Although I know there's going to be some computer guys in the audience with me who are going to say, Steve, cloud computing is somehow implicated by Spotify. Okay. I don't know what the definition of cloud computing is in the Idaho statutes or the regulations, but most people wouldn't have expected that there's going to be a 6% sales tax on Spotify. So when they did their review process in Idaho, legislators looked at it and said, that's not what we meant when we suggested that we should be taxing cloud computing. So they did indeed repeal that regulation. So it's a good process, and it apparently has worked in the past. But then, of course, the question is, do you really need to have this thing that you can describe it as a cliff? You could describe it as a doomsday switch, you know, where either you do this or all the regulations are gone. I guess a little more thought on what happened here. There was a stalemate in March. Remember that the session lasts into April. And the stalemate was in March when House leadership decided as part of their arguments to make a hostage of the yearly bill to reauthorize the state regulations. And the Senate said, we'll see who blinks first. Meanwhile, hey, it's almost summertime. We're almost out of here. Then both bodies adjourned without passing the bill to reauthorize the rules. And that means, of course, that at midnight, June 30th, 2019, Idaho's state regulations are gone. Now, one writer did point out that the governor has announced that he will reinstate most of the regulations at the beginning of June. And I suspect he's going to do that through the emergency process that allows him to do that. But of course, that simply ensures there's no gap in the authority, but the rules will still wind up in front of the legislature for approval next year when they come back in for session. And that, of course, so it's not going to be the Wild West in Idaho, okay? Because many of the rules, if not all of them, or most of them, are going to get reauthorized by the governor. But it's an interesting thing. Like I said, it's a thought exercise. You have to ask yourself, isn't this an interesting way to approach this? And if so, what does it teach us? So we'll watch what happens in Idaho with the fact that all their rules could disappear on June 1st. And like I said, June 30th, they will disappear. We'll see what happens. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.